Welcome back to No Sleep Till here on the Ryer on YouTube channel. Travis Ryer back alongside my co-host, Evan Ryer. Both of us fresh from the United Kingdom, where we witnessed firsthand last Sunday at Wembley Stadium, iconic Wembley Stadium, Evan. We witnessed a Jacksonville Jaguars victory. We didn't feel too good about it there in the first quarter when it was 10-0 Pats, when Drake May and that New England offense looked Tom Brady-esque in its prime, but give the Jags credit. Explosive second quarter, got some help from special teams, and now the Jags at 2-5. I'm calling this sort of a Hail Mary stretch coming up for this team because the competition ramps up, but for the need for victories increases with it.
Yeah, absolutely. If you're going to save the season, you unfortunately have to do it over these next four games, which will not be easy. A win streak starts with the first win, and I don't care that it came against, you know, the worst team in the NFL potentially. I don't know, maybe the Panthers are worse. I don't know. It's a tough ask. I think the thing that was most encouraging about the win over in London was, the fact that they went down early and they actually responded because, yeah, when it was 10-0, I was like, oh, man, are we really about to get boat raced? Because unfortunately, we've seen this team roll over before. Credit to especially the offense for kind of finding some success. I think they kind of went back to maybe the core of what was making that offense tick in 2022. Trevor honestly played a pretty good game again. He's kind of putting together a few performances in a row now. Even that Bears game, he didn't play terribly, but there's encouraging signs. It is probably too little too late, but you know, hey, we were just happy to see the win.
Yeah, the win over the Pats, which the Pats right now are kind of like a G League. If there was an NFL G League, this Pats team would be like the G League team for the old Pats. Yeah, but hey, you said it. You don't turn your nose up at any victories at this point if you're the Jacksonville Jaguars. And I think you hit on an interesting point. When you can run the football, everything gets easier for everyone else. And I've talked about in recent weeks, hey, tighten this thing up, you know, kind of get Trevor Lawrence into a Ryan Tannehill mode with Derrick Henry. But boy, Tank Bigsby continues to do some really, really good things. And we're going to talk about that in relation to not only this game against the Packers, but moving forward as an organization, because Cam Robinson coming out of concussion protocol. I thought Walker Little played quite nicely in his stead against the Pats. You've got guys that are now available to help your football team potentially even this week. If Foye Aluakun is able to go this week, we're still Friday actually game week. So we're still learning some things 48 hours in advance of the Packers, but some of these pieces that have been interchangeable due to injuries for the most part, how do you go defensively, offensively? ETN, if he can go at running back, how does that impact things with Bigsby, Cam, Walker Little, Foye coming back? What does that mean for the inside linebacker rotation? Secondary, I think you can even ask some of the same questions back there.
No, absolutely. They're, you know, getting guys back at, you know, a pretty critical juncture, which is always a good feeling. You like to think that Aluakun coming back is going to be a big, big deal. Essentially he's the leader of that defense in many ways, at least vocally. If he can get there, if Devin Lloyd can put together another performance like he did against the Pats, that'll go a long way against the Packers because, you know, that Packers offense quite dynamic itself. And not to mention they're on a 3-game win streak. They've kind of found it after kind of a, you know, I would say a mediocre start to the year. You had mentioned Walker Little playing well. I was very impressed with the way he stepped in there. We've seen him come in and not really flash any better than Cam or, you know, in some cases a considerable step down in terms of his performances. But that was encouraging. And I think in general, the offensive line has played far better the past month than they were the first month. That's probably a lot of the reason why, you know, again, of course, that's why Tank Bigsby is doing well and why the running game is working. But, you know, we've talked about how Trevor is a guy that you have to give time, you have to protect him well. And they're doing that right now.
Yeah, Trevor, I like the mode he was in against the Patriots. And when he was asked to make throws, he made them. Had the great throw to Christian Kirk there when they were down 10-0 in the second quarter that really seemed to spark that offense kind of over the underneath coverage and in front of the closing safety there. Christian Kirk doing a nice job finishing the catch. And then the deep ball, of course, to Brian Thomas Jr. there in the second quarter. You get help from special teams with Parker Washington in the 96-yard punt return. Complimentary football, something we haven't really seen as much of from the Jags. Defensively, I think you still have some questions there, even with getting Tyson Campbell back last week. And where do you go with that other corner? We talked about that. Buster Brown, Ronald Darby, rotated at those positions once again against the Patriots. But, boy, you talked about Devin Lloyd. But with Foye coming back, Ventrell Miller is going to be tough to sit. You know, to put down at this point. If you got Foye back in the lineup and the way Ventrell's played, that seems to be a pretty damn solid duo. And, you know, I get the sense that around this Jaguar team, if you asked around and you said, look, give me a physical presence on both sides of the ball right now, and especially a guy on both sides of the ball that plays on the ball a lot, I think Ventrell Miller might very well be the pick on defense because of that physicality that he plays with. And then Tank, with the way he runs through tackles, gets yards after contact, it might be those two guys right now.
No, I mean, I honestly think it is. We've talked at length about the Jaguars receiving core and, you know, the pros and cons of it. A pro is not the physicality of that group. We like Brian Thomas Jr.'s attitude, but he's obviously going to be putting on more weight throughout the beginning of his NFL career. And Evan Ingram, you know, can kind of run through some tackles and stuff, but that's really it. So it's Tank Bigsby or really no one in terms of a guy that, you know, is just going to go head to head and, you know, kind of try to send a message, putting his nose to the ground and just going. Completely correct about Ventrell. Yeah, I'm not sure how you solve that when Foye is back in the mix because, you know, Ventrell Miller really, in terms of week after week, has been the most consistent performer on defense. This is where that rotation that we've talked about in the past, we're not the biggest fans of it. Maybe this is where it helps, but, you know, I'd rather have, as always, the best guy on the field at any given time, the guy that's playing the best. So, we'll have to see. You know, we could see them, I guess, maybe try and do more base type stuff. I mean, they give up so many yards in the passing game anyways that they might be better off, you know, just saying, screw it, we don't need five DBs out there. We'll just do, you know, Lloyd.
Play with covers. Miller, Lloyd, and Foye out there.
I'd rather
make that work.
I feel better about our chances of making a play. You know what I mean? Like, you know, if we're going to give up a bunch of yards, we're going to need to force some turnovers. I think those are kind of the guys right now that you can rely on to do that.
Especially on early downs, right?
And absolutely. Down there.
And that, to me, was the biggest thing about the Patriots game because it looked like a Pats team with an offensive line that may be the worst in the NFL or certainly one of the three worst in the NFL. Early on in that game last Sunday, it looked like the Pats were just going to establish the run and run the football or certainly make good use of their backs, whether they were handing it to them or throwing it to them.
No, I mean, you know, when they hit that, you know, check down pass to Hasty, former Jaguar revenge game for Jermichael Hasty, when he had all the space in the world and then
Josh Hines-Allen dropping out trying to pick on a bust. I know Josh got a lot of grief about that and he became an instant meme, but I think there were some other issues with the concept or the scheme or
that
individual misalignment there.
That was giving me PTSD to the Gus Bradley era because I don't know how many times we were seeing DEs going coverage in that Gus Bradley defense. And I'm never a big fan of that, but that is something that you have to do in the NFL. Occasionally you have to, you know, kind of call that kind of stuff. But yeah, tough moment for JHA, but like you said, you know, bigger issues at hand there. If they, you know, in general can, you know, stop the run kind of like what they were doing against the Pats, which Pat's whole offensive identity is running the football. That's going to bode well because these next three games, including this Packers game this weekend, these are all teams that really, really, you know, they work on running the football probably more than anything. I mean, you think about the Eagles. I mean, that's a very, very run-focused offense, just, you know, a lot more quarterback involved there. And then also the Vikings. I mean, the Vikings are playing extremely well. Sam Darnold's playing very well. But, you know, that's a team that has two high-profile running backs that they want to give a lot of touches. So that's where that three linebacker situation might work best, you know?
You know, and the next two games, the prep defensively should be kind of similar, should be carryover because you're going Jordan Love, Josh Jacobs, that tandem there for the Packers. And then probably even more so with Jalen Hurts and Saquon Barkley of the Eagles. You talk about quarterback, running back duos that can hurt you with their legs. And, you know, that's the thing I think about this week defensively. Somehow, some way, you got to get Jordan Love's pass attempts elevated because it is impressive. I think he's thrown 15 touchdown passes this season, but he has thrown 8 picks.
Yeah.
So if you can get him elevated, something the Jags haven't done all that well this year, take the football away. Perhaps they get a cookie or two from Jordan Love on Sunday.
Yeah, you know, this game does have some of that, you know, kind of feel to it where, you know, the Packers are traveling a long way. I know the Jaguars are also traveling a long way to get back home. You know, this is a kind of cross-country road game that, you know, maybe, you know, if you can get a hot start with a turnover, maybe take an early, you know, 2-score lead, something like that, then, you know, you force the issue there. And the Packers can't run the ball. And, you know, at the rate that Jordan Love is throwing interceptions, he'll probably give you, you know, if you already get one, you're probably going to get a second one if he's having to throw 40 times in the game.
Here's the thing, too, for Sunday. The Packers have a tight end, Evan, like Hunter Henry, like Cole Kmet, right? Been a bugaboo for this Jaguars defense. Tucker Kraft has 21 catches this season.
Yeah.
Four of them have gone for touchdowns. So if you are watch the tight end guy or gal, you know, that person in your section that the whole game says, watch the tight end. This should be maybe another week for you.
Yeah. I mean, Tucker Kraft has kind of emerged as, you know, I would say like Jordan Love's safety blanket in a way, you know, kind of a very, you know, easy to hit, you know, he's just been a consistent way for them to matriculate the ball down the field. And, you know, when you've got, you know, that's what's actually funny thinking about him and kind of this Packers wide receiver group. You know, it is more physical. You know, we talk about how the Jags really aren't. You know, Jaden Reed, that's a very physical dude. Christian Watson's a big dude. Romeo Doubs, physical dude. So that's going to be interesting to see how they kind of approach the Jaguars secondary that, you know, has been, you know, really, really struggling to make tackles and, you know, kind of prevent, you know, the medium range stuff. That's where they're getting, you know, diced up. And, you know, of course, Josh Jacobs also in the mix at running back. I mean, we know what he brings to the table. And, you know, I could see him having a very big day if the Jags aren't careful.
Yeah. And take the ball away is something the Packers do well.
Yep.
You talk about, you alluded to the Packers Bama and up in the offseason. They go get Josh Jacobs. They get Xavier McKinney at the safety position. McKinney with 5 interceptions.
A huge year.
Already this season. This is a team that can take the football away, unlike the Jags. So we'll see if Trevor's able to. And Trevor's done a nice job this year. You know, when you really look at it in terms of taking care of the football, maybe to a fault, right?
Yeah.
At times it seems like he's been too aware of taking care of the football, but that hasn't been as much of a problem for him to this point of the 2024 season. Hey, Evan, we look at the injury report here that I've got pulled up. Jair Alexander, the corner for the Packers, obviously an important player, has been for the Packers for the last several years, listed with a groin injury, limited participation on Thursday. Again, we're recording this on a Friday, so we'll see how this continues to play out. But maybe Quay Walker is the biggest one on this list for the Packers. I mean, when you think about tackles and his presence, talking about a Ventrell Miller for the Jags, he's working through a concussion issue, did not participate on Wednesday, limited participation on Thursday. So we'll see what his availability is like. And then for the Jaguars, you know, a lot of limited participation here, but really, I guess Foyer coming back from the plantar fasciitis issue, and then Andrew Wingard, who we've yet to see this season, trying to make his way out onto the field.
Yeah. You know, I think Wingard coming back is, you know, going to be a bigger deal than maybe people realize. Not because I think Wingard is some, you know, top, you know, another level of safety than what we have, but I mean, it's just been a rough year for the safeties. So getting somebody else, you know, some reps doesn't sound like a bad idea. I haven't seen any updates on Tashawn Gibson's appeal on getting back as well. He was supposed to, the idea was that he was going to play this past weekend. I mean, he traveled with the team and then the NFL announced that his suspension had not been lifted, which was weird. Typically, the NFL will kind of give teams a heads up that, hey, this guy's not going to play, you know, or this guy's not going to make it. Not this time. So still something to monitor there. You know, obviously, too, you know, Eric Armstead's got a questionable designation. I don't know how much that matters right now. I mean, dude's been anonymous. And then, you know, Green Bay also has a bunch of questionable designations on their offense. You know, Jaden Reed, Christian Watson, Elgton Jenkins, and Josh Myers on the offensive line. You know, they've got quite a few dudes that aren't certain to play. I would expect a lot of these guys to make it. But, you know, the Jags need all the help they can get. If one or two guys can't go, that could end up being a big deal.
It absolutely could. And don't forget, Brandon McManus, now your kicker.
Yeah, McManus revenge game.
Yeah, for the Green Bay Packers. The Packers, that's one of the few things they haven't done really well this season is kick the football in terms of field goals and attempts. But, you know, one thing the Packers have done to this point, Evan, is hammer the AFC South. 3-0 against the AFC South, looking to get to 4-0, and just can't kind of overstate how important this game is for any type of chance the Jags have to make a run similar to a couple of years ago. I know that's been a popular narrative this week in Duval, but boy, it isn't just this week. It's what, Minnesota, then it's Detroit. Then you're talking about the Texans getting back into the division. You don't really see sort of an oasis out there until the Titans down the road. But a team right now, though, in the Jags can't afford to get too far out in front of itself, literally day to day. And you know this, too, about Sunday. There is going to be a crap ton of green and gold at Everbank Stadium. Anytime the Packers are in town, Niners, Cowboys, Steelers, right? This is one of those type of fan bases that are going to be there.
Yeah, unfortunately, the situation is such that it's kind of like playing on the road where, you know, I talked about, you know, a fast start, you know, trying to make some big plays early. Part of that is to shush the Green Bay crowd that's going to be there.
The visiting crowd, yeah.
Because that, you know, we've seen it at Jags games where, you know, it'll be 50-50 or even, you know, a higher percentage of the away team. And if you go down early, you're officially just playing an away game. And that crowd is, you know, people love to take over an away stadium. You know, you see stuff about that all the time with Bills fans. You see 49ers fans talking about it a lot. You know, these Packers fans that are there, even if they're born in Jacksonville, Florida, you know, they're going to look to get loud as quickly as possible. So yeah, that's definitely something to consider. And you know, you talk about away atmosphere, you go to Philly the week after that. So
that's right. Philly's actually next up. Yeah.
Yeah. Which, you know, I will say this in terms of this 4-game stretch, these are 4 teams that I do not expect the Jaguars to beat. But if you were going to get an order to, you know, potentially go 2-2 in, I think Green Bay and the Eagles are the beatable teams, you know, in that group. The Lions look really good. The Vikings look really good. You know, if I had to pick 2 out of the 4 to get first, those would be it. And, you know, it's like you said, 1 week at a time. If you go, you know, follow up, you upset the Packers this weekend, you know, there's officially a different energy. You know, there's definitely, okay, you know, maybe there's something here. And I think that team needs this. You know, there was kind of mixed reviews on, I don't know if you saw the video of Doug talking to the team in the locker room after the win over the Patriots, but you know, there were some people that said that the locker room gave off a kind of introspective, you know, kind of serious energy, like in a good way. And then there were other people that thought that they, you know, the players looked like they were, were done. So I want to believe that they were just tired after being in London for a week, because none of those dudes really want to be over there.
But I wasn't playing football over there or practicing every day. And I can tell you, I'm still feeling that trip after 10 or 12 days. I know you are too, and you're a lot younger than I am. So I'll give Doug the benefit of the doubt. That's a long time to spend over there. They are taken care of incredibly well. The resort is phenomenal where they were posted up for their most recent trip to London, but it is still not home. And so when we think about the Packers on Sunday, I got to think the pressure in this game, if we were going to pick a unit for this football team, a phase of the game for this Jaguars team, I think it's on the offense. Because I don't have any expectations for the defense to get more than a couple of stops a half. I'm thinking one stop a half. I'm thinking maybe two or three stops for the game. And if that's the case, then the balance that we've seen here of late from the run game, from Trevor in the passing game, they're going to have to continue that, because I anticipate from the outset Sunday, the Packers being very much balanced with the run, with Love throwing it. That's where I think it's going to be almost entirely up to Trevor Lawrence and Tank Bigsby and the rest of that offense to answer possession after possession after possession. And I still don't know if this offense is really up to that task.
Yeah, it's going to be a tall order. I mean, this Packers defense, like you said, is explosive. You know, I think, you know, when you say the offense specifically, I'm thinking the offensive line needs to continue playing as well as they've had. That's going to be, I think, you know, a huge part of it. I think part of that as well, kind of in tandem with that, Trevor Lawrence has to be like on his game, not even necessarily in his passing, but in terms of reading defenses and bringing in additional protection and different stuff. This Packers defense doesn't really have, you know, an edge player that just dominates and is going to finish with 10 more sacks than everybody else. They blitz a lot, and they get sacks from all over the field. That's going to be on Trevor, trying to see, is McKinney coming? Who's coming off the edge?
Rashawn Gary.
Are they bringing Quay Walker, you know, or they bring in Edgar and Cooper. He's going to need to be, you know, watching that very, very closely and ensuring that he can get himself some time or get himself a check down or something.
That's where Evan Engram could be very important to Trevor. But having him back and that awareness that they seem to have with each other, going against a defense, like you said, that can bring it from different looks, and even if they don't bring the extra guy, sometimes it feels like they are because they mix it up. That's where we talk about Tucker Kraft or Jordan Love, but also Evan Engram for Trevor Lawrence.
Something I think with Engram and honestly the offense in general was that, you know, when I talk about like how the offense looked a little bit closer to 2022 days, I loved how many crossers we were seeing. Yeah. There was so much short stuff horizontal. I feel like, you know, that is where the Jaguars were finding success in 2022. That's how you get the ball out fast, whether your offensive line is playing well or not. You know, if you can just hit Evan Engram 4 yards down the field, let him potentially make a guy miss and go, that's how you're going to find more consistent success. It's not going to be, you know, trying to hit Brian Thomas Jr. for 20 yards, you know, once a drive. I think that is, you know, a great point on your part, Evan Engram and Christian Kirk. You know, I'm going to be thinking, all right, let's get them the ball in those short yardage situations and just see if they can, you know, at least pick up an extra 2 or 3 yards. And then same thing with Bigsby and potentially, D'Ernest Johnson. You know, are they going to be able to, you know, kind of get them open or call screens and different things to get them involved in the passing game? Because I think it's going to matter a lot.
Absolutely. Should be a fun one at Everbank Stadium on Sunday afternoon. Now, the following Sunday, as we know, Ev, the Jags got flexed.
Yeah.
Got flexed a little
bit. I knew that
bit.
Was coming.
They got bodied by the
don't go 0-4
by the league office.
Yeah. Don't go 0-4 if you don't want to get flexed. You know what I mean? Like, I think after week three, the NFL office was like, yep, that's a flex. But what's funny about that is what they flexed in there was the Colts game, which I don't really, I don't know if that's necessarily a much better sell, but whatever.
Yeah. Yeah. It's not like Chiefs Niners or something went in there. Let's talk a little bit about the trip to London. Give me your best of London, other than the Jags win over the Pats. What was that for you?
Friday night when me and my sisters arrived, well, I guess Savannah had already been there, but you know, me and youngest sister, we, you know, went out and partied a bit, you know, went out in Soho and got to go to a lot of different types of bars, went to Gordon's Wine Bar, which is the oldest wine bar in London. That was really cool. That was a great night. We really had a great time. A lot of fun characters out and about on the weekend. Of course, the Fulham game. You know, I'm a diehard Fulham fan, and every time I get to go to Craven Cottage, that's awesome. They didn't win, but we did get to see them score a goal, which we didn't see last time. So,
true.
You know, small victories. And then I will throw out the best meal I ate while I was over there, which was at Dishoon over in Charing Cross. That was every time you eat Indian food in England, it's always gas. It's always really, really good. That was maybe the best Indian food I've had in years. Some butter chicken, essentially. They call it chicken ruby, but it was butter chicken and rice. And they had the sauce set up where they kind of give you a tray of sauces to go with your naan and all the different stuff. That was fantastic. And it also arrived at the perfect time because that was at like 10:30 and we were wondering if we were going to be able to get food before everything had closed. They were very accommodating. So shout out to Shun. Yeah. What about you? What was your favorite part?
Well, we had a great trip because we mixed in Italy too while we were over there. So did some Florence, did some Rome. But I still love London, man. I'm a London guy. I don't know. It gives me some Chicago vibes. I'm a big Chicago guy as well. But Shoreditch, a little area we stayed in when we first got over there before the Bears game, very cool area, great bakeries, great coffee, great nightlife. But just catching up with you guys too. I mean, that was a lot of fun. The Fulham game was awesome because it was the perfect weather too. It was like 60, 65 degrees. It was an afternoon. It was actually sunny and beautiful. In West London. So that would be up there near the top of the list. It's a lengthy list when you make that trip. And if you haven't been able to do it out there, viewer, certainly if you ever get the opportunity, especially where the Jags are concerned, do it. You'll be amazed at the interest and the passion that there is over there for football and specifically the National Football League, Evan. That's still, we've been over there prior to this trip, but our first trip over there, that was the thing that really struck me was, how much legitimate, it's not a novelty, right? There's legitimate fandom for NFL football over there.
Absolutely. I would say this time felt even more so than 2 years ago, which, I mean, 2 years ago, there was a fervor to it. But this year, I felt like I was seeing NFL fans all weekend and not just Jags and Pats fans, but, you know, all different types of stuff. People were out and about. I think it's really, really cool. There was I told you about this at the game, but at around halftime, or I guess right before it, I missed Parker Washington's punt return touchdown because I was like, oh, I'll go beat the line. I'll go grab, you know, food right now. There was a little kid who watched the play happen with me. And at first I thought he was American because he was wearing his Jags gear or whatever. And he was so excited about it. And then he starts talking to me and he's, you know, from London. And he was like, yeah, I hate soccer. All my friends just want to watch soccer. I want to watch, I want to watch the NFL, which is hilarious because, you know, I mean, the, if you know, if anyone understands what soccer is like over there, it's like football over here.
Everything.
You know,
yeah.
You know, it's the heartbeat of, you know, kind of the sports scene. So seeing the reverse from, you know, the American soccer fans, basically, that was really cool. And yeah, I mean, there was a couple sitting next to us that were, you know, British football fans that were like, oh yeah, we try to go to every game, like blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
It was really cool. And, you know, finally getting to see a win over there after, you know, witnessing a loss the last time I was over there, that was the icing on the cake for sure.
Yep. Great trip. Always great catching up. Hey, we're not getting flexed out, Evan. I don't think anyway. I think we still have our spot here on Ryer on YouTube. And if you haven't subscribed to our channel here as of yet, go ahead and hit that subscribe button. There's also a notification bell right there. Hit that bell. That way you're alerted to all of our content as it drops here on the channel. And if you would give us a thumbs up, a like, that would help us out tremendously as well. Ev, enjoyed it, my man. We'll do it again real soon.
Absolutely. Looking forward to it.
For Evan Ryer, Travis Ryer, thanking you once again for joining us right here on No Sleep Till. And until next time, so long, everybody.